We've been in the series this year, elevating and glorifying and magnifying the God of the more.
Amen.
And the Word of God says in Ephesians 3:20 that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine according to His power that's at work within us. Aren't you glad for that?
Yeah.
So today I want to talk to you on this Resurrection Sunday about the promise of God's life, but more life than you've ever known. The Bible tells us in John 20 about the resurrection narrative, but that's not where the story ends. That same resurrection has happened to all of us who've confessed His name. And now we have life instead of death. I want to take this opportunity, though, to explain something to you that many people are deceived about, that many people have not done their homework about, and that is this ascribing of Easter to a pagan holiday. I want you to understand something, that from the very beginning, around five before Christ, thousands of years before Christ, you have a situation where God delivered His people. Amen.
Amen.
And the Passover was instituted. And the Hebrews had their own word for the Passover. I'm going to try not to butcher this for all you Hebrew scholars out there. But Pesach. And then around the first century, the Eastern Orthodox Church, who would absolutely positively not celebrate a pagan deity, Ishtar, because they lived in those lands and they knew of those beliefs, they used the word in Aramaic, Pascha, to describe the same thing. In fact, the West did not even write about Ishtar until the 8th century after Jesus' death. I wanted to see how this came into the English language. The term Easter basically was coined by William Tyndale and others, and in his version of the Bible in 1525, while in exile in Germany, he changed the word Pascha to Easter. In fact, listen to his translation from 1525. The first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto Him, "Wherewith thou shalt we prepare for thee to eat the Easter lamb?" And He said, "Go into the city unto such a man and say to him, The Master saith, My time is almost come. I will keep mine Easter at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them and made ready the Easter lamb. In English and in German, you will find the word Easter or Easter. But around the world, it is still the same word for Passover in their language. Why do I say this? Because Tyndale used Easter as a synonym for the Jewish Passover, and it was never associated with a pagan festival. Easter has always been and will always be about the Passover lamb and His resurrection.
Yeah!
Woo! Amen.
It is not Christianity co-opting Ishtar's pagan holiday. It is Ishtar trying to co-opt the Christian holiday. This man, Tyndale, spoke 8 languages fluently, including English and French and Hebrew and Greek, German, Italian, Spanish, and Latin. There's no way under the sun he put an Ishtar image or concept into his version of the Bible.
Yeah.
No way. In 1536, he was strangled and his body was burned for translating the Word of God into English. We still owe this man a great debt today, because our translation sprang forth from the work that God gave him to do. So what does Easter mean? Easter is the resurrection of the Passover lamb.
Amen.
But the enemy has never stopped trying to co-opt what this means. The latest incarnation of that came this weekend when a New Jersey councilwoman named Paula Gilligan, with a name like Gilligan, what can you expect? She said, "Easter eggs are aborted children, babies, chicken babies that are painted and dragged for small children to worship," and releases that Easter weekend. Our own president declared today, not the day of the risen Savior, not the Paschal Lamb that died for all of us, but a National Transgender Day of Visibility. It is not Christians trying to co-opt Ishtar. it is Ishtar, the god of sex and fertility, trying to co-opt what our Lord and Savior did for us, trying to confuse and deflect and deceive and detract, but it won't work. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. There's no surprise why the hypersexualization of our culture is still trying to obscure what this is really all about. I want to encourage you today, as you think about Jesus, and I don't say this lightly, and most of you know me, I don't go around saying I saw things or heard things, but in worship this morning, I saw the Lord walking along, and he looked back and he said this, he is bidding you to follow him like never before. Amen. How many will do that in your own life? Follow him like never before. That's what he longs for. And in John 10:10, he said, I've come that they might have life and life more abundantly to the full, till it overflows, the Amplified says. Abundant means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more a quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one could expect or anticipate. That's what he has given to you and to me. If you're born again today, he desires you to have an abundant life. A life of more. In John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. That's how that abundant life is made possible. Say that he's the resurrection.
He is the resurrection.
He's the life.
He is the life.
No one
comes to the Father
but by him. In Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. It's something else to think, but the same power that hit you, that led you to a place of conversion, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is operating in your life today.
Amen.
It has not diminished with time and will not diminish with time. Look at somebody and smile and tell them the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you right now. We are resurrected in him by faith to live, not merely to survive or merely to exist. C.S. Lewis put it like this, if there lurks in most modern minds the notion that to desire our own good and earnestly to hope for the enjoyment of it is a bad thing, I submit that this notion has crept in from Kant and the Stoics and is not part of the Christian faith. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. In other words, God wants to give us abundant life more than many of us want to desire it or seek it. Turn to somebody and tell them, more life.
More life.
In the scriptures, there are three words basically for life. One is bios or physical life. Scripture says in Luke 8:14, and that which fell into the thorns, these are those who heard and going away are utterly choked by anxieties and riches and pleasures of this bios. This refers literally to the physical life. Then there's the psuche, which is the soulish life. It's a derivative of the sarx or the flesh. For whoever wants to save his soul shall lose it, but whoever loses his soul for my sake shall find it. Speaking of soul life. And then there is zoe, divine life, eternal life, the God kind of life from above. May I submit to you today, if you're born again, you don't have merely physical life. You don't merely have psuche. You have zoe, the God kind of life that came from above. Yes, amen. All people have bios and psuche, whether they've accepted Christ or not. But many in this planet have not had zoe, and that's his desire for you and for me. Bios will dominate the psuche until we tap into the zoe through Christ. That means you will live your life based on the physical demands and what your pleasures want and what your lusts want rather than what God wants. Well, listen carefully. The abundant life is not in bios and it's not in a psuche controlled by bios. It is in zoe. The abundant life that God desires for you and for me is in Zoe. Say that with me. Zoe, the God kind of life. And it's available to whosoever will. What does this mean practically, Pastor? It means that millions of Americans and billions of people around the world live a mere animalistic life, controlled by that body. Without Christ, we literally live like animals. We're no different than the animals we see on the roads or the ones that are shot. When we don't have Zoe, we're living a physical, natural life, but we've never actually tapped into what it means to really live. Turn to somebody and smile and tell them, God wants you to really live. Somebody will say, oh, look at this big, huge house, and look at this fine car, and look at all that money in the bank, and look at the golf course we live in, and look at the beautiful swimming pool, and look at all the things that we have. With our hands, we have built this. Isn't that living? This sure is living. No, let me tell you what living is. It's one person giving their life to Jesus Christ. That's living. That's living. When you live like an animal, you live by base instincts. You eat, you sleep, you reproduce, and one day you die. We're supposed to have a supernatural spiritual life. Everyone has a physical life, but not all really live. Listen to how Peter described this. He said in 2 Peter 2:12, they're like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like animals, they too will perish. Animalistic living, you have base instincts, you have physical functioning, you have a life that's without morality or no moral compass. You can't have one outside of the things of God. Everyone makes up their own moral compass. It shouldn't shock us what's going on in this nation, because if you reject God, you reject His word, you have no moral compass. They don't realize, though, that in doing that, they're living just like the animals. There's no code. There's just instinct and survival. Are you here today? Yes. They're without morality. They're without conscience. There's no paying of guilt for wrongdoing when you live that way. Over time, what happens is that conscience becomes seared, and people are incapable of responding to normal guilt when things are said wrong or done wrong in this life. I want to encourage you, God has called you more than just to suck up air and die one day. It's called you to live and live an abundant life. They lack absolute truth. There's no knowledge or recognition of absolute truth, unimpeachable truth. Everybody is a standard to themselves. The catchphrase today is live your truth. If you're not living the truth, you're not living truth, period. Now that's where so many are, but they don't have to stay there. God, with all of His heart, wants you to have an abundant life, but there's only one place to get that. There's only one place to get that Zoe, and it's in a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to give you length of days. Say length of days. That you would live out your days fulfilling God's purpose, and then one day you'll enter into that place that we know as heaven. Glory to God. I tell you what a glorious day that's going to be. You shouldn't fear death, because death has been destroyed. All you do is relocate when you leave this planet. And can I tell you something today? Heaven is not a booby prize. Oh, gee, shucks, I have to go to heaven? You get to go to heaven, hallelujah. It's a gift of God. And one of these days, He'll wrap this up, and the rest of us that happen to still be here will be caught up together with Him. Paul's teaching is explicit and clear. What a day that will be. Instantly you will be killed, and instantly you will be raised as you're going up. That will be interesting. But you still have to follow them that have died in Christ. So Judy, you're going to have to wait to whoop it up. Amen. Yes. Say length of days. Length of days. Say it with me. Number two, strength of days. To be strong in your body. Your ears are working, your eyes are working, your heart's working, your lungs are working, all your body parts are working. Why? Because He has a plan for you. One of the most diabolical things I have seen in the years I have pastored is the ability of the enemy to convince people their life is not worth living. God doesn't have anything for them. He doesn't care about them. There's no plan for their life. I'm telling you, you're not here by accident. Every person in this room, anyone watching online, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and He wants to see you accomplish that. He wants to give you strength, and He's taught us in the Word of God how to get that strength when we lack it. Not just length of days and strength of days, but quality of days. Divine wholeness and soundness and peace, walking out your days in victory and not defeat. Turn to somebody and tell them, not another day, walking in defeat in Jesus' name. Quality of days. Not just quality of days, but meaning of days. There's a purpose and a sense and a divine destiny to your life. When you look upon your life, you'll see, I do have a purpose, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and there is no small purpose in the body of Christ. You'll be amazed, the people that will watch you, the people that will be impacted by your life. You think that in these last days, it's all about what goes on a platform. Yes, impressive preaching and music and leadership. No, the Spirit of God has said now for decades, the last great outpouring upon this planet will be among the people of God. Yeah. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will cast out devils. You will lead people to Christ. You will lay your hands on people and they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It will no longer be Showtime at the Apollo. It's going to be you sharing and teaching and preaching and God confirming His word with signs following. Aren't you glad you're part of the body of Christ? I said, aren't you glad you're part of the body of Christ? You're not looking for a solution. You actually are the solution. You're His people. And then meaning of days, but also fruitfulness of days, where you make a difference and you bear fruit that remains. The fruit that remains, the fruit of one believer is another believer. That's what remains. You're going to feel like you've actually accomplished what God has set you in order to do in this life. Say this with me, fruitfulness. He said, I've ordained you that you would bear what? Much fruit and fruit that would remain. There's nothing going with you. Nothing. Naked you came out. Are you hearing me? Nothing's going with you. The only thing from this planet that we will take with us is the fact that somebody else was influenced to serve Christ because you were loving and bold enough to say something. Amen. Say it with me, fruit that remains. He wants to give you length of days. Say it with me, length of days. Strength of days, quality of days, meaning of days, fruitfulness of days. Now smile at somebody and tell them, you matter. Tell them again, say, you matter. You really do. So how do we tap into the more in terms of more life? How do we move beyond just bios to enjoy the Zoe kind of life? I'm giving you six of these today, one for every hour that Jesus hung on the cross. And aren't you glad He stayed there? Yes. Number one, you need to accept the right God. Accept the right God. Whoever has the Son has life. Literally in the Greek, whoever has the Son has Zoe. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have Zoe. Until you accept Christ as your Savior, you're living an inferior life short of God's best and privileges. We never really, really start living until we accept Christ. We merely exist. It doesn't matter how successful people are. It doesn't matter how much fame they have or power or money or influence. They never really start living until they yield their lives to Jesus Christ. You say, well, I look at them and they're so impressive. They've accomplished so much. You're missing the point. It's not what they accomplished outside of Christ. It's what they could have accomplished in Christ. And we'll never know for so many of these people because they live, you know, lives that are strong and wild and out of control. And they tend to leave this earth at young ages. But there's only one God that can give you the Zoe kind of life. The God kind of life, the rich, abundant life, the divine nature of God, His fullness of love and joy and power and ability. That's in Him. Why bring that up? Because the land is filled and being more filled all the time with pagan and false deities. There's still only one way. You know, it doesn't matter how big the platform is or how many followers somebody has on Instagram or Facebook. It's not going to change the scripture. It still says there's only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The right God. Turn to somebody and tell them, Jesus is the right way. The only way. Number two, you can need to commune with the right spirit. Scripture says that humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. The message there to Nicodemus and all who would inquire, you have to commune with the right spirit. The Bible tells us who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. We need to accept life through Christ, but also breathe life by the Spirit of God. And there are many spirits in this world today. And we hang around them and wonder why we're defeated. Easter is a good time for us to remember that we may need to do some house cleaning in our lives and disconnect from things that are influencing us the wrong way in terms of the things of God. We need to make sure that we're fellowshipping in communion and with the right spirit, the Spirit of God. Number three, you need to feed on right words. Say right words.
Right words.
It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Bios does nothing. Turn to somebody and smile and tell them, your flesh, does nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are Zoe. They are life. Hallelujah. You know how you can do that. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. You and I are what we hear and what we see. We need to feed on life and not death. Feed on what feeds the spirit man, the truth of God. Is it still okay to encourage you to read your Bible? Is it still okay to tell you need to read the Word of God and believe the Word of God and meditate that? Amen? Because it feeds you. You say, well, I've been away for a long time. God probably doesn't want me back. Listen, He wants you back.
Yes,
just repent and open up your Bible again. I know it's complicated. Say it with me. Repent and then open up your Bible again. Well, I don't know where my Bible's at. That's because you got 15 of them. Just open up one of them. And you got several hundred versions on your, tablet or on your iPhone. We are without excuse.
That's right.
That's
right. Say it one more time. Repent.
Repent.
And open up your Bible again. So complicated and deep today. Number four, think the right thoughts. Why? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is Zoe and peace. You have to think life. You just can't sit there and think anything and walk in the life that God has for you. It's time for you to make sure that you are the guardian of your own mind. You're the one in front of that goalpost that's rejecting what the devil says and doing this consistently. Turn to somebody and tell them, think the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God are life. Hallelujah. Literally producing in you and me that more life that He promises in His Word. Number five, say the right things. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. In other words, speak life. A lot of Christians are literally talking themselves to death. Line your mouth up with the Word of God. How many know there should be no gossip and slander in life as of a Christian? And that includes on social media. People today will not slander you to your face, but they'll say anything they want to on social media. There's some Christians up in here, modern Bible, body of Christ, that needs to repent.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Say this with me and follow the bouncing ball. Just because
I have an opinion
doesn't mean I should share it.
I should share it.
Facebook and TikTok is not going to miss you. Say the right things. Say what we say the right things. Speak life. And then number six, make the right choice. It's clear from Deuteronomy 30 that God has always considered man a free moral agent. You and I, our destiny is impacted by the choices that we make. He set it up beautifully in this chapter, and then Paul based Romans 10, 9, and 10 upon an application of Deuteronomy 30 in the New Testament era, but it basically means the same thing. I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life, that you will live, your children will live, it will go well with you. It's important you understand this, that this is not just a one-time thing you made back in 1957, 1982, 1990. It's something you need to choose every single day. Come on, shout it out. I choose Christ. Christ. City, and I choose Christ. I heard somebody who's famous for being a reformed theologian. I call them deformed theologians. And he made this statement. There's absolutely positively no one ever getting saved that God has not specifically ordained to save and everybody else is ordained to go to hell. It's interesting that that flies right in the face of whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, not willing that any should perish. That's why we go back to the Word of God and we understand that if we're going to have more life, it's going to be because we chose life. And it's not something you choose one time. It's something you choose every single day of your life. You get up tomorrow morning and say, I choose Christ. I choose life. Are you here today?
Amen.
Are you here today?
Amen.
Shout this out with me. Say,
in Jesus'
name.
In Jesus' name.
If I want more life,
I
need to accept life.
Breathe life.
Eat life. Think life. And speak life. And then what? Choose life. Choose life. And that's the choices for some of you today, that you've been living bios. You know what it is to live in the flesh. And even though you may have even accomplished some things, and you have some wins, you know, notches on your belt, you know deep down in your heart that something's not right, something is missing. And what's missing is Zoe. You don't have the God kind of life in your heart. It's just not there. I want you to bow your heads for a moment today.